Reading from God's Word today comes from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and from verse 39. If you want to turn in your Bibles with me, Luke chapter 1, and from verse 39. We pick the story up after Mary has encountered the angel. The angel's told her what's going to happen to her. The angel's also told her what's happening to her aged cousin Elizabeth. So we pick up the story of St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. And this, for us, friends, is the good news about Jesus. Thanks be to God. So we conclude today our Advent series, The Gift Of, and I'm picking up one of Lindley's meeting plans. She anticipated this family crisis and has left me all the meeting plans for the next couple of things, which is great. I'm really appreciative of that. We have trouble trying to get into each other's thought processes when we do that as well, so forgive me if things are a bit disjointed. But the gift of love was the topic that Lindley wanted us to explore today. We've thought about the various gifts through Advent, and here's the gift of love. And Mary's response to the gift of love expressed to her and to the world. But I wonder what love means for you. For example, it might mean something like this film clip. We thank our friends in the Salvation Army in Germany for... hey, don't ever say that there's no sense of humour in Germany. Yeah. And if you do go to David's for Christmas lunch, he promises to share his teeth with you. That's quite a gift, isn't it? But of course the point is, there's no point giving someone a meal if they've got no means of eating it. That's not saying that we should provide dental work for everybody. But a practical expression of love, even with a smile, a slightly toothless smile now. Christina Rossetti's poem, "Love Came Down at Christmas, Love All Lovely, Love Divine, Love Was Born at Christmas, Star and Angels Gave the Sign. Worship we the Godhead, Love Incarnate, Love Divine, Worship we our Jesus, but wherewith for sacred sign? Love shall be our token. Love be yours and love be mine. Love to God and all men. Love for plea and gift and sign." And for us, of course, love is captured for us in this frail human baby born in humility and poverty. It's been a great year working here for Oasis babies. I think we've welcomed about 3 Oasis babies this year. Anya, who works in our admin office upstairs, she had a baby this year. And then Adrian, his partner, had a baby. Adrian looks after our cafe students. And then our friend and colleague James, his wife, had a baby just last week. And it's interesting to see how they all respond differently to this phenomenon in their lives. Anya is from Latvia. She's very organized and doesn't do disorder and doesn't really do childbirth. She would have just had the baby over lunch and come back to work if she'd had her way. And she's already back at work. So I don't even remember her telling us about her pregnancy. It just happened one day, and there it was. No nonsense. Adrian's very relaxed, very laid-back kind of guy. Apart from if you move his pens around and his stationery gets disordered, and he likes things to be organized in a certain way, and he likes to have the right cup for the right thing. I can't identify with that in any way at all. So it's going to be interesting to see how their family life develops with chaos now in the midst. And then there's our friend James, who works upstairs as well. And his wife had a baby last week. And James, who doesn't use social media for anything, apart from, and you can tell him I said this, it's all right. He doesn't use social media for anything apart from to complain about football matches he wasn't at, has suddenly become a video guru. And every day there is a new live video update from my friend James about the latest thing that his baby is doing. And mostly, and we're delighted for them, don't get me wrong, but mostly the baby's not doing much. Maybe asleep, maybe awake, but pretty much that. But what you can't get away from, and it is beautiful to see, is the overwhelming excitement that he feels at having this baby. And it's great, because the thing that I know, and some of you know, is his problems are just beginning. It's easy when they don't go wandering about or thinking for themselves, isn't it? It's easy when they don't start driving cars. Or doing of HSC stresses. Come and talk to you when he's done that. I'm not sure there'll be a video of the day when they're going through all that. But it's great to see the excitement that they have at the birth of their new son, Gabriel. And we're delighted for them. The love of the parents is kind of overflowing, and you can just capture it. Love of new parents is often obvious, even though people do it different ways. But the love of the child back to the parents is less obvious to me. I think there is a special bond between baby and mother. I understand that. And there's certainly a sense of security that the child has with its parents, a sense of belonging and a sense of safety. But love in the way that we think about it isn't something that babies really major on. They just do their baby thing. And yet, when we look at our nativity scenes, and we've got a lovely one here, made by Heather, our images are of this perfect baby that kind of almost communicates as adults do. So that's the kind of image we carry. We have this image of the perfect baby that smiles angelically in his mother's arms, and we sing, "Little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes," as if that was really the case. And we watch, depictions of the nativity and the labor of Jesus lasts about 10 minutes and doesn't hurt. And, it's not messy and all of that stuff. And we sometimes forget that there is a real baby and a real childbirth event happening in Bethlehem. When you really contemplate that, you get a sense of the risk that is being taken here. And here's Mary in Luke's Gospel, and she goes to visit Elizabeth. We don't know why she goes to visit Elizabeth. But the angel had told her that something miraculous was happening in Elizabeth's life. So maybe she went to see if that was true. If it was true for her, then what the angel said to Mary might be true for her. Maybe. Or maybe she had to get away from the shame of being in her village, unmarried, pregnant. In her day, that was a big deal. Or maybe she went away so as not to have the finger of suspicion pointed at the men where she lived. Maybe. We don't know. All this anxiety is playing out for this young girl. And yet, when she goes to meet her cousin Elizabeth, her response is one of extravagant worship. Magnificat. My soul magnifies, glorifies the Lord. That's her first response. The world has come crashing down on Mary in every possible sense. God has chosen her for a task that only she in the whole of human history can do. That's a huge deal. Here is an uneducated peasant girl who literally now has the fate of creation within her. Only she can do this. And the cost to her in her day will be significant. The rumors will have followed her throughout her life. The innuendo, the whispers in corners, the questions around Jesus' parentage will probably always hover around. And actually, she'd be very fortunate not to have been stoned to death in the marketplace anyway, but for Joseph's compassion. Love calms down at Christmas, writes Christina Rossetti, and changes everything for Mary's life. Now, dealing with the reality of what it means to bear God. They call her Theotokos in the Eastern Orthodox tradition, the God-bearer. We don't think of it that way. We're a bit suspicious of overdoing Mary. But she's significant. Only she can do what she's been asked to do. And it depends on her obedience. It depends on her submission to God's will and her response. Amidst all the uncertainties that she's dealing with, her response is one of worship, to magnify the Lord. He's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. He's done great things for me. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. All generations will call her blessed. But the contemporary generations would have a lot of unkind things to say to her, and she knows it. Love came down at Christmas and rocked her world. And Jesus comes as a real baby, doing and saying and making all the noises that every human baby does, with everything that that entails. Little Lord Jesus, plenty of crying and fuss he made. For love came down at Christmas in frailty, vulnerability, and utter dependence. It has to be that way, you see. Any other way, and the infant Jesus cannot fully identify with our humanity. He has every human experience. And in his incarnation, he sanctifies our humanity. Fully human, fully divine. And in this infant child, the fragileness and the vulnerability of God meet the fragileness and the vulnerability of you. So if you're thinking it's just a nice story and it doesn't involve you, think again, because it's for you. And if you're thinking it's a nice story for some people, but you're not good enough to be included, think again, because it's for you. Love comes down at Christmas and takes enormous risks. For to love is always to risk, isn't it? And God does that most of all. Not just emptying himself of divine privilege, as Philippians 2 reminds us, but really, literally, human frailty. Born to a peasant girl alone, surrounded by animals, no assistance apart from Joseph, probably. And do you ever wonder why they're even there? The census meant that Joseph had to go to his ancestral town. That would have meant that he had relatives in Bethlehem, surely. But he doesn't go to them. Why? The finger of suspicion, the shame, the child born out of wedlock, that follows him too. And there they are. Not in a Christmas postcard, Christmas card picture image, but in the mud, the mess, the smell, and the brutal reality of all that they go through. Love comes down at Christmas. To love is to risk. It comes in frailty, vulnerability, and utter dependence. And despite all of that, love comes down at Christmas and inspires worship. For the Holy Spirit is doing something within the participants of this story. Elizabeth herself, carrying her own miracle baby, has a spirit-inspired insight into her cousin's condition. Why has this happened to me? That the mother of my Lord comes to me. And Mary's response of worship. And Mary gains an insight into what this actually might all be about. And there's plenty of times in the Gospels when Mary's confused as everyone else about who Jesus is or what he's doing. But she recognizes in her worship song that this isn't just about her. All generations will call me blessed, says Mary, but his mercy extends to all who fear him. He scattered those who are proud, brought down rulers from their thrones, lifted up the humble, filled the hungry with good things, and has sent the rich away empty. In this moment of uncertainty where the world is crashing in on her, she recognizes that in this moment, the great kingdom reversal is underway. In a way that she can't possibly understand, in ways that will hurt her. Simeon sees that baby, says, a sword will pierce your own soul too, Mary. And she will stand at the foot of that cross 30 years later. And yet still she has that insight that somehow the great reversal is underway and the new creation is being ushered in this child that she carries. Love comes down at Christmas and changes everything and ushers in the shalom, the peace, the wholeness of the kingdom of God. And that's why we're here today. But something else too that I'm not sure we say enough at Christmas. And love comes down at Christmas and brings to you and me a Savior. It's right there. Angels go to shepherds and say, to you this day is born a Savior, the Messiah, who is Christ the Lord. A Savior. Not just a baby, a Savior, capital S. And Mary, in her response, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. This human, frail child is our Savior, with all that that entails for us. And sometimes I think we separate the Christmas story with all that goes with it from the Easter story. And we can't do that. We only have a Christmas story because we have an Easter story. The whole story of redemption begins in this moment, as the wood of the manger will be exchanged for the wood of a cross. The cave in which Jesus is born probably will be exchanged for a tomb. A tomb which he will rise from and will leave empty. A Savior has been born to us. And what does that Savior look like? It looks like a child in a manger, utterly dependent on its mother. It looks like a broken, beaten man on a cross, crying out, why, O God, have you forsaken me? Because putting the world to rights requires that the relationship between us and God be repaired. And only here and only through that Savior does that happen. And as you and I gaze at the Bethlehem scenes, we echo our Christmas morning hymn, which includes the poignant line, trace we the babe who hath retrieved our loss from his poor manger to his bitter cross. There's always the cross in the shadow of the manger, but so too does Christmas night with all its hopes and fears give way to resurrection morning, resurrection possibility, and all things made new. Because this is not just a baby, but this is our Saviour. And this Saviour, this child that can't do anything for itself, requires your participation and mine in the story. Because love comes down at Christmas and love makes demands. It's not just a one-sided thing. Titus chapter 3. Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy. We hated each other. But when God our Saviour revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Saviour. Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Our Saviour does that for us. But in order for us to get that, we need to trust him. That's all we need to do, but that's the demand of love, trust. And Mary exemplifies for us that trust. Despite all that's going on in her world, her first response is to magnify the Lord in her life. My Christmas 2017 is not what I planned, frankly. It's quite possible that yours isn't either. But if Mary's first response is to magnify the Lord in her life and trust him, then I reckon that goes for me too. And you. Whatever 2017 has held for you, and whatever the hopes and fears of all the days of 2018 might be for you, there is the challenge for us in this moment that we are not just to observe this story, to be spectators, but we're invited to participate, to do our part, to see beyond the cozy Christmas card picture and see the reality. See the risk that God takes for you. There's risks all over this story. What if Mary had said no? What if Mary had done something awful? What if Joseph had decided not to be kind to her? What if Joseph had just walked away? What if shepherds on a hillside told about this news happening thought, well, that's nice, but it won't affect us. We'll just stay here. What if wise men a year down the line who had no insight other than something special was happening decided, well, that's just for them. We won't bother. What if you and I look at this story again today with all its familiarity and we say, well, that's nice, but that's for someone else. Let's not bother. Here is the news. If you were the only person in the world who needed this Saviour Jesus, this would still have happened, and so would that, and so would resurrection's morning. And you and I are invited to participate. Love comes down at Christmas time and makes the demand of us the response of faith and active participation. He requires us to be obedient as Mary was, as risk-taking as Joseph was, and as open to the work of the Spirit as Elizabeth was. Love came down at Christmas time for you. For you. In this moment. Whatever it is for you. Whatever those Christmas traditions you're hanging out for. Whatever you're excited for tomorrow morning. Whatever all of that stuff. And it's great and it's lovely and it's important. But right now it's personal. Love came down at Christmas because God wanted to have you in his life. And you can look around you and think it's for someone else or I'm not good enough, and that's not true. It's about you. There might be no other opportunity for you this Christmas time to immerse yourself in the personal story. So we're going to sing a strong song of faith, Christmas time. Oh, come all ye faithful, and the team are going to come and help us. But even as we sing these familiar words, I encourage you to make your personal response. It might be you want to use this place of prayer, and that's okay. You might want someone to pray with you. You might want to just come and look at this beautiful but sanitized scene and ponder on what the actual reality was like. It might be you just need to sit where you are and just open yourself to the possibility that love has come down at Christmas time for you personally. And the question that Jesus is asking you and me today is, what are you doing about that? What difference is that going to make? What difference will that make in 10 minutes' time when you walk out? Or tomorrow when you celebrate with family? Or the next day and the day after that? Love came down at Christmas time to change everything. And everything can change for you.